say, by the way, Professor White's...
He's great, no?
...favorite of the answers we've seen.
Yes. Okay, so maybe let's start there. I agree with you also. I thought... So let's summarize what we did yesterday, right? So we have three Gemaras that have to be contended with in terms of the status of Malchiyot, Zechon, and Shofra. We have the Gemara on Tetzayin, which is Agadic, but says Amra Torah. Then you have the Gemara on Lamed Bet, which sounds a little bit more halachic and says Idkar Rachmana, and then quotes a Pasuk, which is lacking on Tetzayin. And then you have Lamed Aleph and Lamed Bet, which says that if you have the choice between going only, right, the only choice is between somewhere where they're going to blow shofar, even Suffolk, and somewhere where they're going to say the brachot, you choose the even the Suffolk shofar over the Vaday brachot, because the brachot are derabanan, and the shofar is d'oraita. So for this, from this, the Ramban concludes that it's derabanan, giving precedence to the Gemara in Lamed Aleph, and he reads the other two Gemaras as asmachta, and that's it. Right, that's basically the sum total of the Ramban's position. Rashi's a bit more complicated. So, the Ramban's first question on Rashi, which was, why does Rashi and Zichron Trua only say Zichronot and Shofar and not Malchiyot? That's not a problem, I think. Because again, the simple pshat of the Gemara on Daf Lamed Bet is that Zichron Trua is the source, if it's Daraita, from for Zichronot and Shofarot. And Malchiyot comes from a different part of the Pasuk, which is Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, which implies God's royal nature, and that's it. That's so that's not a problem for me. But how does Rashi deal with Doraita? So yesterday we dealt with three possibilities, right? The smoothest in terms of conceptual is just say it's a machloket asugyot, move on, no problem, we're done. Then we had two very what?
Also,
yeah, and whenever you say it's machloket asugya, you need to really, you need to really check. Does that mean Rashi wouldn't agree with the halachic conclusion? But okay, it's a possibility. The other two that we saw are variations on a theme, right? One is to say brachot derabanan, psukim, saying psukim are daraita, or alternatively, and that was the Taz and the Rebbe David, or saying something is biblical, but what you say, right? Not just brachot, but what you say. Whether you say psukim, these psukim, other psukim, etc. That's all derabanan. And therefore, what Rashi is saying is, right, the way Rashi would read the sugya is, since I could fulfill my biblical mitzvah by saying something, some sort of prayer that is a nod towards Malchiyot, Zechon, and Shofarot, or whatever, I could say any psukim, so that I don't need to go to shul to hear the entire thing in the context of Shmona Esrei, blah, and the Amida, and therefore I should prefer Shofar, right? But those are variations on the theme. One was closer to the Divrei David, one was closer to Ramosha Sternbach. Ramosha Sternbach just added, though, that he thinks that the more you say, everything integrates into the Doraita. So if you daven all day, you say Tehillim all day, he thinks that's not just valuable, but it might actually be a Kiyum Doraita of saying Malchiyot, Zechronot, and Shofrot. It's not a chiyuv, but it is a chiyuv. That was his addition. Okay.
I'm sorry. You fulfill more by doing it for longer? Like, what's the basis for that?
Yeah, it's like, it's like, think about it. It's like, it's the way the Gra talks about, and the Gra talks about eating matzah, right? You have to eat on the first night, but when you eat the rest of Yom Tov, it's a kiyum, right? It's not a chiyum, but it is a mitzvah or sukkah, right? The first night you must have a kezayin in the sukkah. After that, technically, if you wanted to wander and walk, and go on tiulim and not eat, sudo keva and whatever, and travel, you could, but you'd be avoiding a mitzvah. But if you sit in the sukkah, you obviously have a mitzvah d'oraita, but not a chiyum d'oraita, right? Maybe that's a better formulation, right? It's a mitzvah, it's not a chiyum, right? Meaning you've hit your minimum, but after that, it's still a kiyum. It's still part of the mitzvah. It integrates into the mitzvah. Okay. Now, I'm glad that the two of you also, are with me on this. But I as I said, at the end yesterday, I think the smoothest answer, in many ways, even though it's not found earlier, is the one that Rosh Weiss suggests. I like it both conceptually, but I also think it works in the words. So nicely, like it works so well in the language of the Gemara. So Okay, good. Gavi, why don't you summarize it for me, and then we'll look at it inside. But what is the Rusher claim?
The Sukiyim, the anchor of the mitzvah is to have the shofar with the Sukiyim. It's to have Sukiyim that are accompanied by shofar, so right? But if you don't have the shofar with it, then just saying the Sukiyim is derabah.
Exactly. Right? Rav Asher has this very nice claim, which is that until now, the assumption of the Great David, the assumption of Rav Schoenbach, all of them, is that whatever value there is in saying the Pesukim, it's a kiyum in the day, right? It's a mitzvah hayom Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, it stands independent of shofar, and that's basically how they would read the Gemara on Lamed Daled, that if there's a conflict between them, so then you got to choose. Rav Asher argues, no, you misunderstood. Saying Malchut Zecharon and Shofarot is not a kiyum in Rosh Hashanah, it's not a mitzvah hayom. It's an aspect of the mitzvah of shofar. So if you have shofar, then it's a mitzvah d'oraita, because the mitzvah is to accompany the blowing of the shofar with tefillah, with recitation. The Gemara in Lamed Daled, the reason it calls it derabanan is because you can only do one or the other. So then saying psukim without the backdrop of shofar is derabanan, right? It's like, right, it's like maror, right? Right, maror. If I have karn pesach, so then maror is d'oraita, but it's not a mitzvah bifnei atzma. It's a mitzvah to have the maror with the karn pesach. So if I don't have the karn pesach, so then biblically there's no value to having maror. But if I have the karn pesach, so then it's a mitzvah d'oraita. Now, I think besides for the conceptual point, right? Well, I mean, we'll read them inside in a second. But what's his best raya to this? I think. Is that linguistically it just works so beautifully in the Gemara? And I don't know how much of a more of a proof you need, but in the Gemara on Ted Zion, it just works. I just like it so much. It's such a nice read of the Gemara, right? Because remember, the Gemara says, right here, the Imru Lefanai Rosh Hashanah Malchiyot Zichronot Vishoparot Malchiyot Kedei Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. I'd say Malchiyot to make me king, Zichronot Kedei Shealeh Zichronam Lefanai Letovah. Say Zichronot, so your commemoration will come to me as a blessing. Uvameh, and with what? The shofar. With the shofar. So the way Rav Asher reads it is, by going to his formulation, is now, vulule dibrei harishonim, right? This is always my favorite, you know, right? Clapper has said this several times. You might have heard it from him at some point, Gavi. Right, but there's all these like rabbinic terms that mean the opposite of what they say. So like lule divrei rishonim means if the rishonim hadn't said what they said, I would have said this. Right, what that really means is it's a polite way of saying I don't agree with the rishonim, but I can't say that. So what I'll say is, had the rishonim not said it, this is what I would have said. But they said it, so I'm not saying this long elaborate thing I'm about to tell you. Right, it's a polite way of saying I really think I'm right, but I can't explicitly say that everyone else is wrong. Right, and then you know you have the fun one. Right, like. Lule de Mistafina, if I weren't afraid to say X, right, then I would say it. So that means Lule de Mistafina is I have a big chiddush, right? Right? Nir lafia nia dati, all these things I have a chiddush. I have a really big chiddush. I'm just afraid to say it, which means I'm not really afraid to say it. I just have to nod to the fact that I should be afraid to say it or something like that. So that's what Rusher does here, right? You want to take it away? His Hebrew is very clear. Yeah?
It seems that the saying "milka different shofarot" is mitzvah d'oraita. Also, the mashna the pasuk l'shem the gemara, and you know it seems from the shot of the language in the gemara, mi'matarshu mi'nekra di'esh lamar milka different shofarot.
Right.
the show for LMB Dropbox. The past taking it up a commune, you can have a show to be like Russia Sharna. And I'll see you if you get a show for you, visit Minnesota or Ica. Okay, stop here, Masham and Sam. Dean Bemakama Fad took in the show for a year after I'd been calling in Missa. In Habraha, LMB Dropbox, and Kevin Shane Maham get a show for. Really Flora, Zudara Sadifla, Leja, Sarah Tatsuyo, Bakla, Dakila Dakrabahino.
Right, so I love this last line, right? This is a beautiful way to explain it, but I'm not saying it, right? I am not saying what I just said, right? Rishonim didn't say it, it's not true, right? But this is his Kiddush, I think it's beautiful. And again, he says it solves all three, right? It's a beautiful way to Daf Tet Zayin, where it really does sound, Ameh Bashovar, that the mitzvah is to say these Tzukim and Davin. With Sukkim and with the shofar. And Lamed Daled, what he says is, yeah, that if you only had one or the other, so sure, the Psukim without the shofar, that would be the Rabbanan. But if you had it, the shofar, so that would be all right. And that's how he reads this. I think, and again, Lumdishly, what he's saying differently is that until now, everyone we've seen has assumed, and to be fair, this is true of both the Ramban and Rashi, that saying Malka Zechron and Shofar is a halacha in the Yom, right? It's a halacha in Rosh Hashanah. Rav Asher is the first one to say, no, 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 it's not a halach in the shofar. Read the Gemara carefully. It's a din in the shofar, right? It defines the context by which we blow shofar. And if that's the case, so then it requires shofar. And again, I think Moror is the perfect parallel model where it's not a standalone biblical value. We do it nowadays as a mitzvah derabbanan. But in the time of the Mikdash, it's Doraita, but it's only Doraita as the chelek, right, of the mitzvah, the Korban Pesach. Okay. Now, the middle possibility is based on the Ritva. Now, I should say before we look at the Ritva, I don't think that Rashi technically agrees with the Ritva. But the Ritva could be used to defend a Rashi-like position, and Rabbi Yashiv seems to actually go in that direction to defend a Rashi-like position. Okay, so either the Ritva is a third position in the sugya, and he's definitely a third position in the sugya because you know the Ramban means totally the Ramban, and there are definitely people who think Rashi means totally Doraita. The Ritva is a possible middle position. Rabbi Yashiv actually uses to explain the Ramban. So. This is either a third view in the sugya or a way of reading Ramban or a way of reading Rashi. Probably an independent view. Okay? And that is that we've assumed until now that blowing the shofar is either totally d'oraita or it's totally d'rabbanan. And it's binary choice. Right? There are only two possibilities. Biblical, rabbinic. But the Ritva suggests that it's not the case. Right, that it's not d'oraita, and that's why on the Sugya Medalid, you give precedence to the shofar, because the shofar is a full-fledged d'oraita. But how do you use the language of Amra Torah and Idka Rachmana, which sounds like it's in the Torah, is because it's not really d'rabbanan either. It's not d'rabbanan either. And the Ritva here, this is it's a life Ritva. You have to know this Ritva. Is the following. Most Rishonim think that what is an asmacha? Most Rishonim, what do they think?
It's a derabbanan.
It's a derabbanan. And then what's the point of the pasuk?
To hint at the derabbanan.
Variations on it, right? One is as a mnemonic, is that you'll remember it better if you attach it to a pasuk, right? Some Rishonim say it's just poetic. We like poetry. We like rhetoric, right? We like saying things in beautiful ways, right? Variations on a theme. And that is the position in most places of the Rambam, well, in all places of the Rambam, in most places of the Ramban, though, you wouldn't have seen this. 2 years ago, I saw this Ramban, not last year. The Ramban in one place sounds like he might entertain not this, but in most places, he says, Asmachta is just totally derabbanan. Ashi in many places sounds that way. Tosfot in many places sounds that way. The Kuzari sounds that way. It's a pretty well trod position in Rishonim. The Hakdama to Shas of the Maariv Chayes, and he's preceded in this by the in the Sefer Sefer Habatim of Rav David Kol Chavi, 14th century Provence, that he says very simply, the reason we have Asnachta is because the Torah used to be Baal Peh. The only thing that Bichtav was Chumash, was Tanakh. And therefore, the more Derabbanan you can attach to Psukim, the more likely that people will remember them, because, right, that's what they're reading as a text. So if you can, right, attach Derabbanans to Psukim as mnemonics, then when they read the Pasuk, they'll remember the Derabbanan. Right, and that's why it's better to attach it to a Pasuk. But most Rishonim think that Asmachta is a complete Derabbanan. So once you say it's an Asmachta, right, it's a binary. It's not Daraita. So it is fully and completely Derabbanan. But the Ritva has this thesis that that's not the case. Right? The Ritva, and this is the locus classicus for this position of the Ritva, is this passage in Rosh Hashanah Zion. Okay, do you want to read it, or do you want me to go through it? Because I know you're having a little bit of trouble, because it's a, you know, complicated Ritva, but Masha Balak.
Yeah, we have to go with the language.
Yeah, that's towards the beginning, and then we kind of got a little bit easier, but...
Okay, I'll read the first few lines, and I'll get you to his main thesis, and you can read it, okay? So he says, Ha de parish batraita tam Rosh Hashanah mishum de idach ku de oraita akdaminu. Hello, Ezra. So this is that which it said in the latter case, right? Is because, look, all the others are mamish daraita, but derachi naga bracha Rosh Hashanah de inun derabana. Right, so in the Sugya on Lamed Daled, Shofar Darita, Bracho Dirabon. Because I mean with Shile Michilton, Shtei Ayarot, and that's the case we saw in Lamed Daled. Shtei Ayarot, Bacha Token, Bacha Mevorchen, Hochel Makam Shetoken, Hochel Makam Shemevorchen, Afal Gav Da'avadai Vasafik. My time Ahad Darita Dirabon. Right, that's the Sugya on Lamed Daled. Right, that if you have a choice to blow Shofar, say the Bracho, go to the place, even where you might blow Shofar, is biblical. Behind it, Lokam Rahacha, but a Ma Amra Torah, the Amr Besach. And he says, because saying Malchiyot, Zechron, and Shofar is not really Daraita. So, so he's Medayik, that's why, right, unlike what we said before, it doesn't, Amr Torah is not really going on Shofar, it's going on Nisach HaMayim. Okay. He uses a softer language, which is, V'hadik Amar, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Lefanei Malchiyot, Zechron, and Shofar. So here's what he's being Medayik. Right, he's making the following. He's saying, you're right, it's not right. But let's look at the Gemara carefully. Originally, we said that according to Rashi, he'll think that Amrit Torah is going both on Hamayim and on the Psukim. But the Girsa, the Ritva, and you have to notice, this is his Girsa on the Gemara. So even without his Girsa, I think you could say it. His Girsa on the Gemara seems to have been Amrit Torah Mischu Mayim Bechad, and Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imru Fana Rashna Machio Zephana Vishofa. Right? He thinks that there's a distinction. That this is not Umra Torah, Umra Kadosh Baruch. God said, but the Torah didn't say. That seems to be his Girsa, something along those lines in a Gemara. So therefore he says the following. One second. Here we go. Vahadika Amar Umra Kadosh Baruch, Imru Lefana Malchio Zephana Vishofa. Misho. Av al gav dipsuke malchio zechon shofar ena min atara elam midirabanan kitta parish. Saying the psukim is only dirabanan. Mikomakom mimash omretra zichron trua. Yesh lomod shraui lahazir psuke trua psuke zikara. It's dirabanan. But it's hinted to in the Torah because it says zichron trua. Umalchio nakalon kemoshe darshu razal. Right, you hint at Malchiyot from the end of the pasuk. Okay, and now he says Umehacha. This is his key language. Umehacha samchu rabana l'takune hani psuke d'tikiata. Based on the pasuk of Zichron Shua and Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Chazal had an asmachta, right, asamchu, to say the psukim of Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofar. You want to take it? Yuri, you want to take his key claim?
I'll Like, we were pointing out that we weren't sure. We thought it was soulmate either relying on, or what did you thought it was?
Or juxtaposed.
No, it's somehow they're making an asmachta, right? They're supporting it with, right? It's an asmachta, right? Okay. So yeah, take it away, Yoni. Umishum achi.
Ani Rabbi Akiva, Sha'amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Amru Kimachu Sukhana Shabu. So because of this, Rabbi Akiva taught, right, to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu says before me, yada yada. Shekol ma yesh lo asmachta min ha-pasuk. All this is an asmachta from the pasuk.
Right, because anything, any asmachta, right? So here's what he says. It's not derabanan in the way you think it is. It's derabanan. How is it derabanan? I still remember learning this with the Rav Friedman the first time in Rabbah. Right? So what did you say?
A year ago.
Right, so here's his wild, wild claim. Right, what is asmachta?
It's something that Hashem is fit to like the coming to make kovea something.
By Masorah,
right?
Well, right, meaning it's the way the Ritva understands it is a oraita is a mitzvah that God says you must do. And a smachta is God meant it. And therefore he hinted at it in the Torah. But you don't have to do it if you don't want to, and therefore it's not biblical. But if you choose, if the Rabbanan choose to institute it, so then it's not pure derabanan. It's a derabanan which is choosing to formalize that which God already hid in the Torah. Right? So according to the Ritva, there are two levels of deoraita, so to speak. There's real deoraita, where God said, do this in the Torah, you have to do it. And then there's asmachta, where God hid possibilities in the Torah, and then gave the Rabbanan the choice. If you want to turn that hint into an all-out chiyuv, then you have a right to do it. And your quote-unquote derabanan is a fulfillment of God's underlying will. But if you choose not to institute it, then you have the right to not do what God wants you to do, because God didn't tell you you have to. He just told you it was a good idea, right? He hinted at it in the Torah. So an asmachta for the Ritva is somewhere in between. It's a rabbinic formalization of God's underlying will, but not command, right? That's, it's a very fancy formulation, but that's, right, that's how the Ritva imagines a smachta.
And to be clear, the Ramban would genuinely disagree.
So in all places except for one, the Ramban seems to disagree. I shouldn't say that. I don't know all the Ramban in Kol HaTorah Kula. As far as I know, there is one place where the Ramban seems to suggest that he might accept something like the Ritva. And when I learned it with Rav Rosenzweig, he also noticed this in Ramban and did not know of any other Ramban that seems to imply that. So I don't know of any other Ramban where he says this. But in one place, the Ramban seems to agree. In one of his possibilities in the mitzvah, in the halacha of Bal Tikru, right, of Kirva to Erva, right, of the limitations of, right, the derivative of Yisurim of Arayot, right, not hugging and kissing and whatever on of one of the Arayot. So there he implies that he might entertain a ritva like asmach, might. But usually, yes. Usually, 99.9% of the time, the Ramban doesn't agree with the Ritva's view on asmachta. And he says, like the Rambam, that it's just a hint, and therefore, when he says, it's just a Rabbanan, he means it's just a Rabbanan.
Do we often find, this is the second time going through a sugya where Rashi and Ramban take different sides of the asmachta deraisa coin? Is that something you find often?
You find it a lot. Meaning, the challenge of asmachta is that they go to pasuk and they might be derabanan. That's, yeah, it's a very common problem to have. But this is this Ritva you have to know. Because Ritva, right, changes the game by saying there's a middle category. Right? Now, again, I don't think this is really Rashi, but it is a way of defending all three, right? It's a third derech, which is to say, yes, it's derabanan in the sense that it's derabanan, meaning it's not doraita. But you can say Amra Torah or Amra Kadosh Baruch, because It's not Yor Darabanan. It's actually God's underlying will. It's an Amachta. And then he goes farther and he says, V'lo k'divrei ha'mefarshim ha'asmachtot shu k'derech siman shenatnu chachamim. An asmach is not like the majority of Rishonim who think it's just a hint, right? A sign, a mnemonic device to make you remember. V'lo shekavanu ha'Torah l'kach. And that it's not what the Torah actually meant. Chas v'shalom. God forbid that's what it means. Yishtakeya ha'davar v'lo yomar. May such a position be said and not said. Shizu da'at minut hu. Because it is heresy, right? I mean, he has very harsh language for the majority position in Rishonim, in Rambam, Ramban, Rashi, Tosfot, Kuzari, whatever, etc. Okay, fine. Aval ha-Torah he'ira b'kach. The Torah enlightened you about this. U'masra chiyuv ha-davar l'kvol ha-chachamim im yirtzu. It gave the rabbis the choice whether or not to implement it as obligation. Kimoshin Amar Basita Piavar Shay Gidulacha Ulafichach Timsachamim Zechar Osmachta. That's why the rabbis always look for an asmachta. Not just to help you remember, but because that shows you that they believe they're channeling on the underlying value of the Torah itself. Klomar Sha'ina Michadshim Davar Miliban. They're telling you this isn't a Dabana that we made up. The call Torah Shabbal Peh Rumuza Batorah Shabbatam, and all of the oral Torah is hinted at in the written Torah. Shehit Mima, which is perfect and complete. V'chas v'shalom shehi chaseira klum. God forbid that the Torah is missing anything. Right? So the third possibility in this sugya. You want to say hello? You want to learn the Ritva? Yes, okay. Yeah, it's a fascinating Ritva. You can listen, okay? Yeah? Yeah, can listen, okay? That the Ritva, right, comes up with a third possibility, right? He says there isn't a binary. D'oraita means the Torah commands it. Pure Dirabana means the rabbis made it up. Asmachta means that God built in optional mitzvah to the Torah itself and gave the rabbis the choice, if they want to take him up on his suggestions. Right? Again, it's a wild position. It's absolutely wild. Right? Meaning it's, right? He's right. Saying that people either listening to his suggestions or choosing not to take his suggestions seriously. Right? That was fine. But therefore, if you do it, right, if you take him up on it, it's a derabanan, but not really. Now, for him, therefore, it's very easy. The sugya lamed dalet is, saying Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofrot is Dirabanan when compared to blowing Shofar, which is a pure Doraita. But it's authentic to say that Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God said it on Ted Zion and Amid Bet, because God did say it and he did mean it. He just didn't obligate it. He suggested it kindly. Right? God, he encouraged it at some point for people to take him up on his suggestions to say Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofar. Now, I highly doubt this is what Rashi means. Right, Rashi sounds like it's pure Doraita. But we should acknowledge that theoretically, if you really wanted to, and again, I think it would be a stretch in the reading, you could read the Ritva both into the Ramban or Rashi, right? Meaning, right, the fact that the Ritva is somewhere in the middle means if you wanted to, you could say that's what the Ramban really means, right? Which is...
How would you read the Ramban?
Meaning if you wanted to believe, right, meaning the Ritva says... It is a Dirabanan. It's just not a regular Dirabanan, right? So if you wanted to, you could say, oh, the Ramban means that too. I don't think he does. But again, I believe what I'm saying. I'm saying the Ramban in 99% of the places makes it clear that he thinks Asmachta means pure Dirabanan, that it's just a mnemonic. If that's the case, then obviously he doesn't say the same as the Ritva. Rashi, when he says Doraita, seems to really think it's Doraita, right? And therefore... So you could, if you wanted to, read it into Rashi, or read it into the Ramban. I don't think it's true. I think it's a third position of the sugya, right? Meaning, the Ramban thinks it's purely Darabanan. The Rashi thinks it's purely Daraita with one of the three or four defenses that we've already seen. And the Ritva says, I have a better solution to your problem. It is Darabanan compared to real Daraita, but it's not regular Darabanan, so it's legitimate to say that Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God said it, because he did say it. He just didn't command it. And that's what, for the Ritva, is Asmachta always is. Now, Now there are potential nafkaminas to this, right? There is this the Prichadash in his Psicha Kolelas, whatever you want to call it, right? His introduction to his Peirush on Arachayim, or really on Shulchan Aruch, in Aleph Chaf had a Chiddush, and he says that even though normally we say Safek Derabanan Lekula, if it's Safek Derabanan with an Asmachta, he thinks Yolo Chomra. Right? That's the Prichadash's Chiddush. And Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Beit Otsar suggests he has two possibilities, but I'll leave his first possibility is wild, and he doesn't agree with it, and then he says it's heresy and whatever, and he's not really saying it. His concluding possibility is that the reason you would say something like the Prichadash is if you held like the Ritva. Right? Is that if you think that Asmach is not a real Dirabanan, it's a Dirabanan are channeling God. Right, and they're obligating you in what God wanted, but only made optional. So then it makes sense to say that Safek Asmachta L'chumra, because it's somewhere in between Daraita and Darabana. So that's his suggestion. There is, by the way, one more possibility of what Asmachta is, and that's really weird. Right, Maharil has this piece that Asmachta is that when the rabbis set up a rule, but they were afraid that people wouldn't take the rule seriously, they made an asmachta to trick people into thinking it was d'oraita so that they would take it seriously. Right? That's Maharil. Which is wild. That may be what the Rambam thinks Baal Tosef is. It's really a problematic position in the Maharil, and that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel really doesn't like. But we'll leave that, but it's odd for now. Maybe another time we can explore the Maharil in more depth. Okay, but those, again, like I said, I agree with Yuri. You could, if you wanted to push, I didn't care about reading so much, you could either shove the Ritva into Rashi or the Ramban. The most likely explanation is that the Ritva is a third position in the Sukkah, right? A unique position in the Sukkah. Is that?
I would definitely just say that if we want to say it the other way, which one seems to be attacking more than the other, it's definitely the Ramban. He goes on about how you can't, it's bad to read.
Correct. And this particular one, if I had to say which one he's closer to, I'd say Rashi. Right? Because he's offended by the notion that it's just Dirabanan. Right? He's offended by that notion. So yes. But again, my tendency is to think that the Ritva is really a third position in the Sugya. And that's it. It's a third very important position in the Sugya. It's a third model in the Sugya. Now, I just give you Rabbi Yashiv, who basically goes in this direction, and he says, "Katav Yesh Lomar." He quotes from the Sefer Yom Trua, "Dizeu Dabanan Enga Dabanan Mamash Elakavnu Einu Mefurash BaTorah." Right? When it's not Dabanan, it's just not explicit in Torah. Kamashikad the Rambam Digudesh Yekezav Einu Mefurash BaTorah Nefer Dori Sofrim and. His proof is the following. There's a very weird Rambam in the 17th parak of Kalim in Perash Mishnayot who says that Divrei Sofrim can mean anything from it's Dirabanan to it's D'oraita, but it's learned from the Yod Gimel Midot and therefore is not explicit in the Pasuk. And Divrei Sofrim is an amorphous category that includes all of it, right? So things that are pure Dirabanan to things that are basically D'oraita, but without a Pasuk. So Rabbi Yashiv basically suggests that maybe based on Yom Trua that that's what this is. That it's really d'oraita, right? Now this is why I said Rabbi Yashiv is taking a Ritva-esque position and reading it into Rashi, right? And what he's saying is blowing the shofar is d'oraita, saying the psukim is d'oraita. So why do you call it Dirabanan? Not because it's Dirabanan. It's just less D'oraita than blowing the shofar because it's a D'oraita without an explicit pasuk, which makes it a weaker D'oraita. Now that's, I think, more extreme than the Ritva, right? The Ritva doesn't seem to think that Asmachta is D'oraita or Dirabanan. It's a middle category, right? Rabbi Yashiv is saying maybe it's almost d'oraita, or it is d'oraita, but it's a lower level d'oraita, right? Not a middle category called asmachta, but a d'oraita minus, which is very close to the Ritva, but maybe a little bit stronger. But he's using that really to defend a Rashi-like position, which is to say, yeah, saying the psukim is d'oraita is just not explicit in the pasuk, so you can call it d'rabbanan, because something which is d'oraita but without a pasuk is more d'rabbanan-like than something that has an explicit pasuk. Yeah, I don't like it either. I get it. My tendency is to think that the Ritva and this Yom Shua that quoted about early Ashiv are really middle positions, right? That Rashi says, D'oraita mamish. How does he deal with Stira? So, again, we've seen several possibilities. Either Stira da Sugyot or Psukim D'Rabban, Psukim D'oraita, Brachot D'Rabban. Or saying something is D'oraita, what you say is D'Rabban. Or, like Rav Asher Weiss, saying without shofar, derabanan. Saying it as a kiyum in shofar, d'oraita. But then you have a middle position, the Ritva and the Yom Trua, which is, no, it's neither d'oraita nor derabanan. It's a middle category. The Ritva called that a smachta, which is God built in advice to the Torah, but he didn't make you take it. But if you take his advice, so then you are channeling God, so it's still a lower level than shofar, which is a straight up chiyuv, but it's better than a regular derabanan. Or the Yom Trua, which is, it's a d'oraita minus, right? It's a d'oraita without a pasuk. Again, I find these to be mechudash. As a third position, it's fine. As a interpretation of Rashi or the Ramban, it would be very problematic. But someone might want to do it. Okay. So that is that. Now, as I gave you here, I think we've gone through almost all the Achronim I gave you, except for the long one. I don't want to read the whole Mordechai. Like, that's insane. It's very, very long. But I gave you a few other answers in Acharonim, so I'll run through it. One was from the, before we get to my Mordechai, was a fascinating answer in the Yan Yosef. Again, I'm not told by this, but here's another defense of Rashi. I'll just read you his conclusion. He says, here's how it goes. It's basically a half acceptance of Bavli and Yushami, but it's the inverse of Rav Asher Weiss. Right? Rav Asher Weiss says, it's only d'oraita to read the psukim when you have the shofar. The Rayan Yosef, based on the Yerushalmi, suggests the opposite, which is, when you're blowing the shofar, so then you don't have to blow the, you don't have to say psukim. It's only rabbana. But on Shabbos, when you don't blow the shofar, so then saying the psukim is d'oraita. Why? Because the Yerushalmi says, right, and the Bavli says it in Tavamina, that Yom Trua means you blow the shofar, and Yom Zichron Trua means you talk about the shofar. So what he says, maybe what Rashi's telling you is that on Shabbos, when you don't blow the shofar, then saying the psukim is d'oraita. But during the week, when you're blowing the shofar, so then in a chanami, you give preference to the shofar, because then saying the psukim is only d'rabban. Right? That's his chiddush. Right? It's a very fascinating chiddush. I don't know if it's true. I don't think it is. But that's his suggestion. And therefore he says, the Ramban challenged Rashi and said, how could you say Zichron Shua means saying the psukim? Etc. He said, but here's my defense of Rashi. It's not a smachta. The pasuk means that kishain token machmar is a siba, that whenever you don't blow the shofar for whatever reason, az yom ru psuke trua, then you have a biblical obligation to say the psukim instead. Vudrasha gemur, it's a straight up pasuk. Achar gzir chachom mitkayim ged chalbeth shabbat. And therefore, but his thesis is even farther, like this. It's that what the words zichron trua mean are that whenever, for whatever reason, you can't blow the shofar, you have a mitzvah d'oraita to do a makeup by saying psukim. So let's say you just didn't have a shofar, you'd be biblically obligated to say psukim. And once Chazal say you're not allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbat, so now, because you're bound by the d'rabbanan, you have a mitzvah d'oraita to say the psukim on Shabbat. Because anytime you can't blow the shofar, you have a mitzvah to say the psukim. And that's how he's mechadesh. He says that Zichron Trua The reason Rashi can interpret it is not that you always need to say the fucking. Is that when you don't blow the shofar, you need to take Rosh Hashanah, a Yom Zechron Shua. That's his suggestion, right? So, you know, let's just write down what we have for Rashi, right? Possibility one, right, was Machloket. Sugyo, right? Two is Bracha Ar Derabanan. Sukim. Right, three was say something that's biblical, but what to say is there a banan? At four was a Rusher Weiss is the right only with shofar. Right? Now the Vayan Yosef is only a right without shofar. Right? Right? And then we had, obviously, Ramban, who just says, Yerabanan, and all evidence is Mira Smachta. And then the Ritva, which is, it's, right, a middle level, it's more Yerabanan than Shofar, but closer to Doraita than pure Derabban, right? And there was that, right, the Yom Truah said basically the same thing, right? That it's Doraita minus. That you've seen basically so far, okay? Right, that's everything we've seen. Okay, the last source, and again, I you know, we don't have to read the whole thing, but the longest and most thorough attempt at analyzing the sugya that I could find was in the Mordechai. So let's just look at it for a little bit. We'll not read it all inside, but we'll just skim it. Right. So he quotes Geder Yichuv Amir Psuke Malchir V'Zichrona V'Shofara. Right. What is the nature of the obligation? And so he quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Tet Zayin. Right. And he notes that it sounds like an Agadah. So maybe you would think it's not a reason things go right. The problem is that this agadic statement is quoted by the Rif. Right, which is what leads you to believe that maybe it has halachic valence. Okay, so he goes right. He quotes everybody here. He quotes the Shilte Giborim. Right, he quotes here. Right? Rashi says Deraita, Rabban says Derabanan. Shilte Giborim, Kishim Zogei B'Shofar Hashana, Kach Omrim Surim Shmalchio Zechorna B'Shofar. Right, pretty clear. Just like you have to blow the shofar, you have to say the psukim, d'oraita, and he quotes several Rishonim who say this, right? And again, if you want a full treatment, you'll see he has person after person. Then he quotes Tosfot and the Rash, Dirabban, right? The Brachot are Dirabban. And here he is, here. Ayin Chazanish, he said, the Chazanish also saw three understandings of the Sugya. Dat Rashi had Tkiot Ma'abot et Abracha. Dot Tosvot Chelik Me'Abrachot Ma'akev Chelik Sheni Chelik Me'Abrachot Ma'akev Chelik Sheni. You know what? This is more about the bracha. Yeah, no, you know what? The Chazon Ish has three interpretations. One that without the tkiot, you're not makanimitz for the bracha. The Ran is the opposite. That without the bracha, you're not right. You need both bracha and shofar. And Tosvot is part of the bracha or ma'akev some of it. Okay, all right. He goes on. You know, I don't know if I really want to go through all of this. The Makor of Rashi. Here. Okay, this is where Rashi has to defend Rashi. He says, that which they ask on Rashi, from the Gemara on Lamed Aleph, right? So how do you deal with it? So he says, Madua. So he says, Mash Mekansha Machot Doraita. So here, remember I said, Machloket HaSugyot. This is from the Maimer Mordechai, right? His first answer is, it's Machloket HaSugya, right? That's where it comes from. Rashi has Birsha Gemara. He locates for Adosha Rabbi Akiva. Right? So his first answer is, how do you defend Rashi? Machloket HaSugya. That's all. Rabbi Akiva thinks it's all right. The other thinks it's not. And he says, if Yeter has bear, to push it further. And then this is just worth seeing because it brings us back to the shofar on Shabbat issue. Do a low token for Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbat. Right? Zichro Shua Yom Shua. And Rashi there had said, Zichron Trua, Velo Trua Mamash, El Mikro Shel Trua Yomru. So he says, then you quote Gzera de Rabba. So he says, Imkain Shnei Psukim Eilu Medabra Machal Rosh Hashanah Yom Trua Zetkiat Shofar, Zichron Trua Eila Psukim Tzichim Lomar Zechor Do, right? And Zeh Echon Karot Lashitat Rashi. Right? The way Rashi reads the Sugya in Lamed on Chavtet is not that we totally reject the Drasha. Is that Zichron Trua means you need to read Psukim. It's just as we said before. You need to read the Psukim and blow the Shofar, right? That's how Rashi takes it. And then he notes that the Ramban and Tosfot thinks they're Rabbanan. You know, and if you're interested, you can just look. I'll just run through and show you what's here. We won't do it inside. But he notes that Beirut Dat HaRambam goes through which one he thinks the Rambam is like. And then he does Ladat HaRitva, which is what he calls Brachot Ke'eno. Right? The third possibility, which is it's neither Daraita nor Darabanan, it's Ke'en. It's sort of like Daraita. As he summarizes it, Nimtzo Lemeid Medar Ritva Shamachio Zechron Vishovro Zerot Habore Yitbarach Shmo Yitalev Ekid Daraita. It's the will of God, it's just not Daraita. And then the fourth position, as we noted, is the Yom Trua that was also in Rebbe Yashiv, which is that it's Dibrei Sofrim, which is, you know, Daraita minus. Okay? And here he notes that you could, if you want, use it to defend Rashi. Right, and that's what we saw. He has a lot of other things. He deals with the question of whether this is only Bitsib or even Biyachid. Right, as you see, here's his summary, okay? We'll end with this, okay? You don't have to read his whole tshuva. Here's his executive summary of all the possibilities. Baha askin and v'hachdin, and this is the end. Machiyat zichronet v'shofrot yeshomrim d'oraita. Some say, biblical. Yeshomrim ke'in d'oraita. Some say, sort of biblical. V'yeshomrim d'rabbanan, and some say, d'rabbanan. Utkia be'emtza atfila. Blowing the shofar during davening, b'musa b'chavir with the tzibur. Zutakana miyuchedet b'malchiyot k'dei shetam lichuni aleichem. That's a kiyum in making God king. V'acher kach, and that will lead avol zichronam lefanai letopa. That God will remember us. Uvamen, how do you do it? B'shofar. Dahainu lomar gam psuki shofar v'kiyat shofar. Say the gim and blow the shofar. V'lochein, harambam, hamuval el natan tam t'kiyat shofar midin u'shenim, and that's the reason the Rambam blowing the shofar is waking up people from their sleep. V'aliba duchulei alma ikar t'fila hu shetam lichuni aleichem. However you take it, the point of t'fila is to think about making God our king. Ulididhu shofar hu emtsa'i lam lachalas karal tova. And shofar is the tool we use to do that. Have omer sh'adam hamitpalel b'Rosh Hashanah. When someone davens in Rosh Hashanah, umazkir malchiyot, and mentions God's kingship, yedaloh sh'zeh ikar chashuv. This is very important. She'yedah kol po'ul ki atof al tov, yavin kol yadkar yata yitzar tov, ki omar kal asher shema ba'po, Hashem elokim shom melech umalchuto b'chol mashallah. You should have in mind when davening that everyone has to know that God is king and God is our creator. The imlav, and if you don't have in mind with your tefillah, with the shofar blowing, God king, lo yatsa yedei chovatel, then you right didn't fulfill your obligation. And therefore you have to have kavana. Hain b'tefillah lachashum et balel, whether it's your prime minister, hain b'shmiya, shatz b'chazara, or chazara shatz, chiyot shetam lichuni aleichem, that God is our king, v'zuchonot shakadosh baruch hu yisvartan l'tova, Ulevrachai deshanu token b'shofar, and in zechronot that God should remember us, v'yizgorlan uzchuto shel Yitzchak alom, ben Avram Avinu alom, and remember the merit of the Akedah, ki lo akadnu et atzmeinu lefanav ha-shofar bala orer, as if we tied ourselves on the score, h miyad kol shofar, shum chavana, rak matzat ratzon abor yit barash mavit alev. Blow the shofar and think about doing God's will, v'chol atamim shenem rode, rashi otosan rama manal, and whether you take rashi, rambam, doesn't matter. Right? All of these, right? The point is that whether you think it's Daraita, whether you think it's Darabana, whether you think it's Asmachta, blowing the shofar and saying the psukim, saying the brachot, there's a theme that it's aiming at. And just to keep that in mind. Saying the word, and in my mind said Daraita. The Ramban thinks it's Darabana, and the Ritva is what God wants. It's just not obligatory. But everyone agrees. If you ask, what is the values that we're trying to accomplish, both from tefillah, it's that we want to make God king, accept him as king upon ourselves, that we want to do tshuva and have God remember us for good, those things are true, whether it's derived to Rabbanan or not. So that's his summary of the sugya. He has some more nuanced positions, but as we've seen basically seven different possibilities here, right? Ramban, Ridva, and five different ways of defending Rashi. I still think Rashi Weiss is the nicest, but that's me. Okay, good. Enjoy your trip, and we'll. Next Thursday.